You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. And thanks to Kathy Rubio for joining us in hour number one. Just terrific stuff from Kathy, and we're going to have to watch for her TV show. Well, I want to get right to this interview. It's lengthy. It's fact-filled. In fact, if I was listening for the first time, I would be taking notes. Todd, let's go ahead and let that roll, the interview with Robert David Steele.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. On the newsmaker line with me, we have Robert David Steele, formerly of the CIA, and he has some stunning revelations and an observation about a critical rebuke of our president. Robert, welcome to the show, and for those who have not heard of you or are familiar with your work, and I can't imagine there'll be many, but briefly, give us some background with your work at the CIA.
Well, I was born the son of an oil man. I did my university degrees in Pennsylvania. Then I joined the Marine Corps, and the CIA recruited me out of the Marine Corps in 1979. I spent 9 years as a clandestine case officer, 3 overseas tours, which was very unusual, back-to-back, 5 times the regional recruiting average. I wrote the CIA standard operating procedures for a clandestine field station, which, believe it or not, they hadn't had one before. And then I did 3 tours in Washington, 1 in information technology, 1 in counterintelligence with worldwide responsibilities, and 1 in future satellites planning. And then the Marine Corps recruited me back to create the Marine Corps intelligence activity, which is where I figured out that we could get 96% of what we need to know very cheaply from open sources and methods, and CIA has never forgiven me for that.
Are you the source of the information that says that about 80% of all intelligence is open source, and if you know where to look, you can find it?
Yes, I am. I'm the father of the open source intelligence discipline. But there are other sources, like General Tony Zinni of the Marine Corps, who said that he never got more than 4% at best of what he needed as commanding general of CENTCOM from secret sources and methods. And then you have Ben Harrison and General Peter Schumacher at the U.S. Special Operations Command. They were providing 40% of everything that Special Operations Forces needed worldwide, including Russian military maps for denied area border crossings, for $5 million with 22 people using only open sources.
That's incredible.
That's our government in a nutshell. Our government is 50% waste and 90% idiocy.
that's well said, and it is amazing too how I found this too just through my own work, how easy it is to find out so many things. You just have to learn to ask the right questions.
Well, that's exactly right, and CIA has fought me for 40 years. I've actually had the approval of the Office of Management and Budget for an open source agency at $2 billion a year, which it's real simple to think about that as 200 different threats and targets at $10 million a year. That's how you get to $2 billion. And if I had a $2 billion a year open source agency, not only would Donald Trump be the greatest president ever or the best informed president ever, but we could take away 70% of the secret intelligence community's budget, and we could cut the entire federal government by 50% because we'd actually have useful intelligence that would allow us to do that.
It's such a driving force for so many independent journalists, and I'm so glad to hear you validate that. Well, let's get to a couple of matters of hand. I have information from trusted sources, and I do mean more than one, that the Hawaii alert that an incoming missile is imminent, rush for cover, as the message said on television, that was a real threat. This wasn't a mistake. There was a real missile fired at Hawaii.
Right.
What do you know about that?
Well, all of my sources are Hawaiian citizens. The one that's the most important to me is a guy who's been there forever. He donated several thousand dollars to hashtag Unrig, so I've gotten to know him over time. He's worked with and had direct access to the Hawaiian Emergency Management System, and he tells me that there are five separate layers of fail-safe procedures to avoid telling the world by mistake that there's a nuclear missile coming in. He also tells me there's no button. There are, just like in a nuclear missile silo, this is such an important announcement that there are two keys 8 feet apart. Two different human beings have to positively be crapping in their pants and saying there's a missile coming to turn those two keys simultaneously. This was not an accident. There was a missile. There was a real fear that a missile was coming in, and the governor of Hawaii is lying to us.
I was also told, I mean, you are so validating what I was told. I published the fact that this is a five-step procedure, and I said that information was actually garnered from the Japanese, and they copy our system. And that was one of my sources. He said, if the Japanese are admitting to this, he said, that's our system too. And he said, this undoubtedly, it's a five-step procedure. It is so amazing. I think I published it around 3 days ago. So, you know, the truth will out. Now, the origination point of the missile, I was told, this is a bad term because I don't really understand it. Maybe you can explain it. Inside the Guam perimeter.
Well, that's interesting. What that means is that it wasn't fired from North Korea, wasn't fired from Japan. It was probably fired from a vessel on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Israeli Dolphin submarines can only fire cruise missiles armed with a nuclear warhead. They cannot fire ballistic missiles. For a ballistic missile, you need a different kind of vehicle. Now, there are different kinds of vehicles that are under the control of U.S. naval officers, foreign military officers, Israeli officers. So we don't know. What we do know from another source of mine, a Hawaiian citizen, is that a tourist boat saw what appeared to be a missile splashed down, or pieces of a missile splashed down in the ocean. This was actually covered by Hawaiian TV channel number 2, and then shortly thereafter, all references to that the video was deleted from their archives. So we do believe that there was visible evidence of something being shot down. How it was shot down is not yet known. We do know the U.S. Navy destroyers have successfully shot down ballistic missiles. We do not know for sure, but we believe, and Dr. Michael Sala has written about this recently, we believe that we do have the ability to vaporize missiles from outer space with the secret space program. I have no direct knowledge. From where I sit, there was a missile. It was destroyed. Now the next big question is, did we destroy the vessel firing it? Are we going to have a USS Scorpion kind of thing here where there's a missing vessel that no one can account for? And so we need to find out if our government, if our president, in fact, is going to insist that our government tell us the truth or not. Oh, by the way, a separate alarm system from the Pacific Command went out completely disconnected from the Hawaiian alarm system with exactly the same warning.
At the same time?
Yes.
When you have these missile detections, do they have the capability to identify the type of the missile?
I don't know, but I suspect not. You're looking at a blob on a screen here. I'm a little concerned because I've always thought that our anti-missile and anti-submarine capabilities were 20 years behind the time. But from where I sit, there is no way that this was an accidental false alarm. This was a very real alarm. It was done with two different people triggering the alarm. The rest of it, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I totally agree. And to the people of Hawaii would hear this, proof positive, you were almost nuked. Well, do we know, first of all, what kind of firing mechanism was on board and what the payload
well,
was?
Well, no, and you know what? You raise a very important point. We don't know for sure that there was a nuclear warhead. I mean, this could have been a cruise missile or a ballistic missile with a conventional warhead. Could have been a cruise missile or a ballistic missile with no warhead, particularly since the Clintons and Obama were on Oahu, were on the islands, were in Hawaii. I forget whether they were on the Big Island or Oahu, but the bottom line is the Clintons and Obama were in Hawaii, which is where I would want to be if I wanted an alibi as a party to firing a missile on the United States of America. Let me mention something very, very important for most people, particularly those who grew up after the 60s. The Israeli government, the Israeli Navy and the Israeli Air Force did their very best to murder all of the crew people on the USS Liberty and sink that ship. They did this with malice aforethought, knowing it was a U.S. naval vessel. This is an atrocity against all possible acts of war. They also jammed the distress frequencies, and Lyndon Baines Johnson refused to allow the U.S. Navy to rescue that ship and then covered it up for 20 years thereafter. Okay? So for anyone doubting whether Israel will fire a nuclear missile at the United States, let me just say, remember the USS Liberty.
You're not the only person to have mentioned that possibility to me, and that is the leading suspect. But let's look at motivation. In your estimation, what would motivate Israel to perform a second type of Liberty attack upon the United States?
Well, right now, I think Netanyahu is looking at jail time. Mm-hmm. There is some really deep, serious stuff going on. And you have to remember that the deep state is much more than just Israel. I mean, basically the Zionist element of the deep state. I always like to say Zionism is not the same as Judaism. Zionism bad, Judaism good. 90% of the people in the Zionist state of Israel are good people trapped in a bad system. Just, I say the same thing about the CIA and everywhere else. Freemasons, Knights of Malta. 90% are good people trapped in a bad system. What I think is happening is Donald Trump has the deep state. And when we're talking about the deep state, we're talking about maybe 1,000 people at the top, 10,000 people at the second tier, and 100,000 people at the third tier. I think Donald Trump has the Rockefellers and others absolutely certain that he's got the goods on them, and that Guantanamo has been refurbished. There's an Arizona military police battalion on its way there. There is every possibility that we are going to see some major indictments of traitors who are serving a foreign power, not just Israel, but Saudi Arabia, of elite pedophiles who are also satanic ritual murderers, and of white-collar criminals such as the leadership of Goldman Sachs that routinely manipulates foreign exchange and interest rates in order to steal money from the taxpayer. And a shout-out to Catherine Austin Fitz and the professor and students from, I think it's Minnesota, who have identified $21 trillion or more that has been stolen from the U.S. government treasury and the U.S. economy by Goldman Sachs and the other evildoers in Wall Street. We're in the middle of a civil war between the 99% and the 1%. Donald Trump is taking on the 1%, but he hasn't connected with the 99%. And that's the missing piece, in my view, for absolutely a triumph by the president in the next 90 days.
This, you are confirming so much of what I've been told, and it's interesting to me how many leaks there are about this all over the place. What's happening? Is Trump leaking this information so he garners widespread support? Why is it this information so readily available?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's impossible to understand what it means to be the President of the United States unless you're actually the President of the United States. There are only two people on this planet that I think have any clue as to what Donald Trump is thinking or capable of, and their names are Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. Those are the only two guys on the planet that have a clue what it's like to operate at that level. So I don't know. What I do believe is that Trump knows full well that Chuck Schumer, to take one example, is a traitor to the United States of America. Chuck Schumer has said on more than one occasion that he is Israel's representative to the U.S. Senate. His job in life is to make sure that Israel gets what it wants, no matter what the cost to the American taxpayer. And that's something I've been troubled that the president hasn't been hitting Schumer harder on that point.
That is,
this is Chuck Schumer's government shutdown.
I agree. I totally agree. And in fact,
by the way, this government shutdown may be Chuck Schumer's way of trying to cover up the Israeli story against Hawaii. I mean, there's so many dots that need to be connected. I'm certainly not capable of connecting them all, but I am capable of asking the right questions. And from where I sit, if I were president, I would be wanting to look at every single email and every single phone call that Chuck Schumer has had in the last 90 days.
I agree. Chuck Schumer is the overt fly in the ointment, but there is a covert fly in the ointment that has me equally concerned. And I say this because there should have already been some lower level prosecutions, and there haven't been. And I'm talking about Attorney General Jeff Sessions. What do you think accounts for his total inaction with low-hanging fruit like the Clinton emails?
I honestly don't know. I can't speak to that. I think he's totally wrong-headed on marijuana. It's clear that the American people want to legalize marijuana and hemp. I think he's hurting the president by going down that road. So I really don't know. If he were to leave the Department of Justice, then Andrew Napolitano, Judge Napolitano, a constitutional lawyer, would be my preferred choice for attorney general.
That would be an outstanding choice. I agree. But
oh, absolutely.
But you know, just from your third-person point of view here, aren't the Clinton emails enough to get started on her? Hasn't there been enough of a trail?
I don't care, but... Dave, you know, it's funny because I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and I get a lot of pushback when I champion truth and reconciliation, particularly when I'm dealing with elite pedophiles. I'm now a badged commissioner for the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into Human Trafficking and Child Sex Abuse. And there are easily 1,000 people in the United States, including many governors, including possibly Vice President Pence, who are easily qualified to be deeply investigated, almost certainly qualified to be indicted, and very probably qualified to be incarcerated for being murderous pedophiles and covering up pedophilia. The Franklin scandal in Nebraska has been replicated in every single one of the 50 states without exception. Okay? So when I look at all of that, I think of Trump having a really big challenge on his plate. And frankly, David, I've lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the football championship that's coming up. I'm calling it for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. Well, I'm of the opinion that Pence is dirty. I've said he's dirty from day one. So you're confirming
good
that.
For you.
You're confirming that suspicion. Oh, I've been taken to task for that by some of my readers and listeners.
Let's talk about Pence being dirty in three different ways.
Okay.
Way number one, which has yet to be proven beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt, but way number one is the murderous pedophilia part, to include a female partner sticking a Freemason dagger into the heart of the child that's being sodomized and choked to death from behind. Way number two is just massive criminal fraud. I see Smith, the FBI special agent in charge of Little Rock, Arkansas, when Bill Clinton was governor, taught me a lot about crime at the state and local level. And what I see Smith, who's written a great book, by the way, that's available at Amazon, what I see Smith taught me is that our governors and our mayors are 1,000 times more corrupt and criminal than all of our members of Congress and everybody in Washington. I would say 70% of the major crimes in the government are at the state and local level. And then, of course, Mike Pence had a private email server identical to the one that Hillary Clinton had. And he has refused to release all of those emails. They provided hard copies of a few emails. Bottom line is, Mike Pence was the right guy to help Donald Trump win the election. Now he needs to resign voluntarily and receive a presidential pardon in return for getting out of the way.
Who would you recommend to succeed him?
That's a great question. I'm torn between Nikki Haley and Newt Gingrich. And the reason I lean toward Newt Gingrich is because the vice presidential position is traditionally the position that manages Congress. And the Speaker of the House is a gifted historian, a gifted author, and as annoying as he can be to me sometimes, I think he would be the ideal person to work with Congress, provided the president also did the Election Reform Act and got a Congress elected in 2018 that was one-third independents, libertarians, and Greens. We need to destroy the two-party tyranny because the Republicans as well as the Democrats are Donald Trump's worst enemy.
You're pulling words out of my mouth today, and we didn't rehearse this. People who read my columns.
No, we did not. But I do read your columns. I do love your headlines, and I do think you're one of the greatest voices that Donald Trump needs to hear. And it's very frustrating to me because I've put the three moves that he could make into a tinyurl.com/Trump Triumph. In fact, it's now a hashtag at Twitter, #TrumpTriumph. He needs to clean the press out of the White House and turn that into an open source agency, a Trump television studio and Trump channel that displaces Facebook and Twitter and Google and YouTube. And he needs to have a grand strategy conversation with America. He also needs to eliminate the National Security Council, which is the deep state's way of controlling the White House. Herbert McMaster is a never-Trumper. He's a traitor. He helped stage the sarin gas fake false flag event in Syria. McMaster needs to be sent back to the army. The NSC closed, and the president needs to start governing in a grand strategic sense, which is to say addressing all threats with all policies and all costs all of the time. He's got to get off of this stovepipe nonsense.
Do you know, as his challenges to the deep state grow, and I'm talking about issues and volume, I can't shake this feeling, Robert. It's JFK all over again, where he confronted his day in the New World Order in much the same way that I'm seeing Trump go.
It's funny you mention that, because I did a review of David Talbot's The Devil's Chessboard, which talked about how CIA saved the Nazis from World War II against President Truman's wishes. And it also talked about Alan Dulles' playbook, which is how Dulles was the principal person behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but with the explicit approval of Lyndon Baines Johnson and so forth. And in some of my Kindle shorts in my Trump Revolution series at Amazon, I've talked about how John Brennan has been using the Alan Dulles playbook to attempt to assassinate Donald Trump in multiple ways. And if you look at how the deep state has sought to destroy our legitimately elected president, you start with the Electoral College, where they try to basically overturn the Electoral College. And Lawrence Lessig, the classic American intellectual idiot, tried to flip the college while hiding out in Iceland. And then you had all of the lies about Russia. That was John Brennan. I've torn John Brennan a new asshole on Russia Today and everywhere else. And my Amazon Kindle short, Soft Coup, destroys the CIA report. And all of your listeners need to know that on page A13 of the CIA report, it says in black and white, our findings are not based on evidence. I don't make this stuff up. Our findings are not based on evidence. Okay? And then the third thing was #resist, which is being managed by the Anti-Defamation League, the Zionist secret police. You look at Meetup, which canceled the #unrig $77,000 professional network. They canceled it they discriminated against us. And yet they waived the fees for #resist for 1,087 #resist meetups, which are co-sponsored for, wait for it, by the Anti-Defamation League.
Oh my.
I think Donald Trump's worst enemies in the United States of America are AIPAC, the Anti-Defamation League, and the Republican Party. The Democrats are actually lightweights.
Well, aren't the Democrats a reflection of the deep state, and don't they all work together?
Well, so are the Republicans. There is no difference.
Okay.
There is no difference. I have a cartoon that, you know, it's one bird, two wings, same crap. We need to destroy both the Republican and the Democratic Party. And one of the things, I'm an alt-right white guy. Cynthia McKinney's an alt-left black woman, and she's a specialist in politics. I'm a specialist in spying and intelligence. But one thing we agreed on is we need to move beyond parties, and we need to have people, not parties, in Congress. Can I tell you the three things that are bad about every party, including the Libertarian Party?
I think I might guess them, but I want to hear it.
Okay. Number one, each party insists on a one-party ticket and a one-party cabinet. That's insane. Each party insists that you embrace the party platform, 50% of which is criminally insane. And each party insists that you honor promises to donors such as the Koch brothers, who have bought the Libertarian Party and are destroying it. Those are the three things that are bad with a party. If Donald Trump will not take my advice, and I'm trying to help him, not only be the greatest president ever, but if he wants it, get a second term, and if he doesn't want it, put whoever he wants in it. But if I have to run for president in 2020, or if I have to support someone running for president, a billionaire, for example, who decides they want to do it right, then we will have a coalition cabinet and a balanced budget announced in advance. And we will challenge the two-party tyranny to do the same thing, and they won't be able to. The American people in 2020 are going to have a choice between a coalition cabinet led by an independent and the two-party tyranny putting up two alleged murderous pedophiles, each of whom says, trust me.
Well, trust isn't coming, and that's for sure. You know, you were speaking earlier, too, about Schumer. Do you know what Schumer said in 2013 about a government shutdown?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Look, Schumer's a hypocrite, but so are they all. What Trump should be doing is slamming Schumer for being un-American, because Schumer's vulnerable points, and he may also be vulnerable on pedophilia. He knows Jeffrey Epstein, and I think Jeffrey Epstein knows Chuck Schumer with intimacy. But Schumer's biggest vulnerability is that he is on record as saying that he is Israel's representative to the U.S. Congress. That, in my view, is out-and-out treason.
Well, I agree. He's treasonous nine times Sunday, in my opinion. But he did say that shutting down the government caused chaos, and this is what the Democrats need because they're desperate. Let's change gears for a moment. A book came out which was a strong rebuke
right.
of President Trump, and you have written a review of that book. I'd like to hear it.
Well, let me say that Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House by Michael Wolff is a legally actionable defamation hit job. And as the top Amazon reviewer for nonfiction, I read in 98 categories, and I have over 2,500 reviews posted. But I just deleted all my reviews at Amazon because Amazon has lost its integrity. They're now part of Google Gestapo. They're banning books, and they're banning reviews that are critical of Israel. They are being evil. But when I review a book, I read in threes. So I chose to not only read Fire and Fury, but I also read Corey Lubkowski's and David Bossie's Let Trump Be Trump, The Inside Story of His Rise to the Presidency. And I read Understanding Trump by Newt Gingrich. So here's the bottom line. Fire and Fury is four parts. Part one is an absolute hit job intended to demonstrate that the president is mentally unstable, has the attention span of a small child, and is viewed with derision by every single person with whom the author was able to elicit any commentary. I see no evidence the author actually conducted formal interviews. Mm-hmm. Part two, and this is a really good part of the book, is the story of the dysfunctionality that results from the combination of a mercurial Donald Trump and an inept staff. And part three, the best of the part of the book, is how Rents Priebus and Paul Ryan, Steve Bannon as the self-proclaimed shadow president, and Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner all destroyed the president's first 500 days, or however many days it's been. They all collided from day one. They were all leaking. They were all infighting. They were all ignorant of how to govern. All three of these destroyed the president's early days. He has been successful in spite of Rance Priebus and Paul Ryan, in spite of Steve Bannon, in spite of Jared Kushner, who is known to be trying to provide nuclear weapons to Saudi Arabia so as to inspire a limited nuclear war between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which is what Israel wants. This is all insanity. So after I read every word of that book, I then went through the other two books, and I'll tell you what I found in a nutshell. Michael Wolff is a liar. And all of his claims about the president being a childlike, blah, 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 this is all nonsense. If you look at these other two books, and I regret not reading Roger Stone's book also, but these other two books talk about Donald Trump as an extraordinarily disciplined, attentive person who has an infinite capacity for detail, who knows how to reach out to experts and do just enough just-in-time knowledge collection, who is disdainful, as Newt Gingrich and I both are, of what we call intellectual idiots. These are all the people in the think tanks and the university and everything that said, well, I have a PhD, I know everything about nothing, so you have to listen to me. Trump is actually very focused. I think he is a real genius, and I did an interview with someone who called him an indigo. He's one of these people who has, she said it's extra copper in the brain. He has a gift for nonlinear thinking, for connecting dots. Some people would call it 3D chess. Bottom line here is that all of the evidence outside of Michael Wolff's book says that Michael Wolff is a liar.
We're going to make this go around the world, and I totally agree with you.
Oh, David, forgive me. Let me tell you, there's a short URL where my review can be read. It's tinyurl.com/steelreviewfs. And I'll send you the link. I think it's important for people to understand that Michael Wolff is essentially stage four in the deep state's attempt to destroy our president. The first stage was the Electoral College. The second stage was the lies about Russia. The third stage was hashtag resist. Michael Wolff is the fourth deep state attack on our president. And by the way, I have in my review, I say the president should sue Michael Wolff for defamation. He should have a federal lawsuit with discovery, because if he does discovery within a federal lawsuit, he will be able to look at every email, every phone call, and every cash payment in Michael Wolff's last 2 years. And I believe we will find that Michael Wolff is dirty.
Dirty on the level of Clinton dirty and involved in that shenanigans? Or what do you
level
think?
On the dirty of being a paid pimp.
Okay, yeah, for all the usual suspects.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well,
I mean, look, if you look at how his book was played up by the Atlantic and the New York Crimes and all these other people, this stuff doesn't happen by accident. This was a massive nationwide defamation campaign, which also means in a federal lawsuit that you can discover conspiracy, which means you can get to triple damages, which means you can take away Michael Wolff's $7 million payday.
Do you think the ADL is behind this book in part? Do you think it's a motivator?
All paths lead to the ADL. MyTinyURL.com/Google Gestapo outlines the 6 ways in 90 days that the Zionists destroyed the hashtag unrig campaign. They destroyed a $500,000 campaign in 90 days using 6 different methods, including meetups cancellation. And I believe that the Anti-Defamation League was behind every single one of those 6 ways. They're just doing the Donald Trump stuff that, you know, I'm very unimportant. I'm a grain of sand on the beach. Donald Trump is a giant, and they are rolling out every possible method for digitally assassinating the president of the United States.
Well, let's go back to this missile incident, because I think there may be a tie-in here. If Israel was behind this, what would be their motivation for provoking the United States into a state of war with North Korea?
I think Israel, and well, actually, it's not just Israel. It's the deep state that wants the war with North Korea. Israel, well, by the way, Israel was providing nuclear components to North Korea. I mean, these people have no honor at all. But I believe that Israel and the deep state want us to go to war with North Korea, and they want us to go to war in the Middle East, because war is profitable for the banks It's only the banks that profit from war. And I believe that the banks and everybody else are desperately afraid of Donald Trump having some successful prosecutions in February, arrests in February, prosecutions in March, April, and May. I would love for July 4th to come around and Donald Trump to be able to tell the American people that he has drained the swamp of the top 1,000 criminals that have been destroying our country. And when I say criminals, I'm talking about a mix of traitors, elite murderous pedophiles, including some governors, white-collar criminals such as those who lead Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and Citibank and so forth.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't stop with the low-hanging fruit. Along these lines of prosecutions following indictments, what is your opinion of QAnon? I've been very outspoken. What do you say about this?
Well, it appears I know two of the five people that make up QAnon. My best sense is that QAnon is a mix of five people who have extraordinary knowledge and who have been playing games, basically, but with truth always as part of their source and their intent. I personally have no time for riddles, so I haven't really been paying much attention. But everything I've seen suggests that QAnon has both very good sources and a prescient sense of what's coming down the road. And so for those who don't have direct sources, worth paying attention to.
Here's what bothers me about QAnon. The release of the information frequently seems to be very global, very widespread. And in intelligence information I've received, especially from covert sources, the information tends to be fragmented, and then it's up to the reporter to go fill in the gaps with collaborating information. That's the problem I have with taking them seriously on all these issues.
I honestly don't know, Dave. What's really happening here is that Americans are realizing that Crap News Network, New York Crimes, and Washington Compost are all worthless. They're all lying sacks of crap that are in no way serving the public and in no way telling the truth. And people are also starting to realize that Twitter and Facebook and YouTube have all been manipulating stuff. And so what's happening now is there's this emergence, which Donald Trump could radically accelerate it. If he would create the open source agency, I can create the post-Google internet literally overnight. And that's something that Putin and Xi Jinping want also. And then you've got some very talented folks in Spain and Brazil and Iran and a few other places. But the bottom line here is that Trump is missing the opportunity to pivot, mobilize the 99%, and end forever any possibility of Congress shutting down the government or betraying the American public again. I mean, we're literally, 2018 is a very positive, epic year in American history.
I think potentially it definitely is. Well, what about QAnon's proclamations that indictments have been delivered and are currently sealed? Have you found any evidence?
That.
You think it's true?
No, like yourself, I rely on, and by the way, I don't have any covert sources. Nobody from CIA or the FBI is spilling secrets to me. All of my information is open source. What's interesting is that Phi Beta Iota, the public intelligence blog, has become the gold standard for serving the public with intelligence. And as a result, the day does not go by that I don't get 10 emails from citizens. When Hawaii happened, I got 5 emails from 5 different people almost immediately saying, I'm here in Hawaii and this is what I am seeing and thinking. So I've become a magnet for what are called citizen intelligence minutemen. I prize that. And if I had an open source agency, I would have a way for 200 million people to be able to feed open source direct observations into the system. And I guarantee you that inside of 2 to 3 weeks, Donald Trump would know more about every single zip code in America than every mayor, governor, and congressman does. So we're at the very beginning of creating a whole new internet and a whole new world brain. And that's what I want to be a part of for the next 40 years.
Well,
QAnon is go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought on QAnon, please.
No, no. I really want to respect you. What do you want to talk about?
Well, here's what you mentioned about, you know, Trump having this open source, and I think it's a great idea. Here's one thing that bothers me about the president, and remember, I'm an ardent supporter, but this really bothers me greatly, and I'll use myself as an example. In my website, which is holding its own for volume, only because I'm attracting people by word of mouth, Google used to account for 20% of my organic traffic, and now it accounts for less than 0.5%. And
right, they're shutting you down. They're shadow banning you.
Exactly. And the same thing is happening on YouTube. We have strategies to get around it, and I've had people help me. But right. here's the bottom line. No one supported this president more than I did during the campaign. And then I could add myself to thousands of other people from the independent media who are being affected just like I am, who are loyal to this president and loyal to this country. Why isn't he stepping in and stopping Google and Facebook from doing the nonsense they're doing?
That's a very, very good question, particularly since he has a moron running the FCC. And taking away net neutrality. Had I been the president, that guy would have been out of a job the next day. Net neutrality is sacred, along with legalizing marijuana. I'll meet the left on that one. So I think my bottom line is Donald Trump is fighting dragons. Newt Gingrich has an excellent distinction between antelopes and chipmunks. And frankly, at this point, as Trump takes on the deep state, which is an antelope, Google, however evil it might be, is a chipmunk. Okay? There will come a time if the president survives, and I'm very concerned because Mike Pence, I mean, Julian Assange has come out and said Mike Pence is stabbing President Trump in the back every single day. And I visited London to talk to Assange, and I only ended up talking to his number two, but we discussed Mike Pence in detail. And my understanding is that my concerns about Mike Pence are borne out by documents that WikiLeaks is prepared to release at some point in the future. So I'm really concerned that Trump is not heeding the possibilities of Trump triumph, which is what I sat down to talk to Roger Stone about. Donald Trump needs to clear the press out of the White House. He needs to create the Trump Studio and the Trump Channel and the post-Google Internet. And he does that by creating the open source agency, which creates the post-Google Internet. And he needs to have a conversation with America about grand strategy. So, for example, he would go to every American and say, what do you think about nationalizing the Federal Reserve, legalizing marijuana, closing all of our military bases overseas so that the CIA can no longer smuggle children through military bases using military aircraft, and so forth. Once Donald Trump has a majority of the public behind him at the data level, if he also has an Election Reform Act that puts in a swing vote into Congress, at this point he can do evidence-based governance. He can cut the federal government in half. He can cut the federal budget by half to two-thirds. He can restore state rights. He can support. He can restore individual rights. He can get rid of all of this, the smart meters, the smart electrical meters, all of the stuff with our cell phones, which are spying on us all the time. I mean, there are atrocities going on, as you point out, that the president is not dealing with them. And the reason the president is handicapped is because the intelligence community is worthless. We don't have a counterintelligence community worthy of the name, and he doesn't have an open source agency that can give him all of the decision support he needs on every single threat, every single policy, every single cost, every single minute of every single day. I know how to do that.
Then he should be calling you.
Well, the new request to people is that they tweet at Real Donald Trump between 6 and 11 in the morning and 6 and 11 at night, and the tweet should say, give Robert Steele 3 minutes, hashtag Trump triumph.
Give out Donald Trump's tweet again. We're going to popularize this.
At Real Donald Trump. You can also do at POTUS.
Okay.
And, of course, his wife isn't talking to him right now because he just hit strike three.
Don't let that slide by. What do you mean he just hit strike three?
Well, strike one was he cheated on her. when she was pregnant. And that's come out recently.
Mm-hmm.
And strike two was he's the guy who gave the New York papers her naked pictures. And strike three, mm-hmm. Wolf is hinting at it, but the black population, the black leaders in Washington are telling me precisely who he's been sleeping with recently in the White House. That's why he wanted a lock on the door, and that's why Jim Kelly got rid of a certain person. So the president has his personal issues just like Bill Clinton has. That does not in any way reduce the fact that he could be the greatest president ever. I mean, John Kennedy was stacking prostitutes in his bed, two and three at a time. But he was still the greatest Democratic president we ever had. So my bottom line is Trump needs to rise above all of these personal imperfections. He needs to be the greatest president ever, and the only way he's going to do that is if he mobilizes, empowers, listens to, and elevates the 99%. That is the center of gravity for Donald Trump being the greatest president ever. Everything else becomes a detail.
Hence my reason for him going in and dealing with Google. You see, in my estimation, and I've even talked to one of my own personal attorneys about this, Google's an unregulated monopoly controlling nearly 80% of all search engine traffic. And for them not to be held to the standard of antitrust legislation is unconscionable.
Oh, it's not just...
Yeah.
David, you're brilliant, but let me add to that. They're also in massive violation of Title VII. They're discriminating against hundreds of thousands of people based on their political views. Now, I have just posted the Johnson versus Twitter lawsuit, the federal lawsuit against Twitter. Twitter advertises itself as a public town hall. They're in grotesque violation of that. They banned my friend Roger Stone, an alt-right white guy, and in the same week, they banned an alt-left black woman who goes by the handle of Charlie Peach, okay? Let me give you my promise. If Donald Trump were to listen to me and allow me to create the open source agency, within 180 days, if not 90 days, I would have an alternative before the public that was blockchain, encrypt, distributed, and an alternative to Facebook, Google, Twitter, YouTube, and Amazon.
Hmm. That is very tempting and appealing, and I think it's a notion worthy of promotion. And that's one of the things we're going to do.
I stake my sacred honor on it. You know, the American Revolution, the second American Revolution, is going to be won with information. And right now, the deep state is manipulating the information that's reaching the president, and it's manipulating the information that the public is able to access and share. An open source agency creates a level playing field for the public in the information war with the deep state. I know how to do that.
I think you do, too, and I think it's worthy of pushing this. Well, Robert, we're just out of time for this segment. I want to thank you for joining us, but we need to keep in closer contact. I want to have you back on more often because your insights are timely, and more than timely, they're accurate. And I really appreciate
you
joining us.
Well, what you really mean is I agree with you on everything.
No, actually, you opened my eyes.
Good.
Well, let me back up from that. Yes, you do agree with me on a lot. But you also have served to open my eyes on other issues that help me connect the dots.
Well, listen, I love what you do. I read your headlines very I read your stuff very carefully. Bottom line here is that Donald Trump is being lied to and managed by his White House principals. He needs to free himself. And the fastest way for him to free himself is to give me 3 minutes of his time. Well, Newt Gingrich has taught me how to talk to Donald Trump. I can do it in 3 minutes.
I think you're absolutely right. Tell people how they can follow your good work.
Oh, well, thank you. PhiBetaIota.net, which is like Phi Beta Kappa, but Iota for intelligence. PhiBetaIota.net is free with no ads. We do 4 email posts a day. RobertDavidSteele.com. is my personal website, and all of my Nobel Peace Prize stuff is racked and stacked in the middle of the landing page. Unrigged.net is where I set up the educational program for the American people to understand that they can take back the power. All they need to do is create a 12-person cell in every congressional district and agree that the next member of Congress is going to sign a pledge to put America first, not Israel first, and sponsor the Election Reform Act. So you can Google Robert David Steele, ignore Wikipedia. My Wikipedia page is created by morons, supervised by trolls. But RobertDavidSteele.com has everything I've ever written free.
That sounds great. Well, Robert, thanks again for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you. We've been brought to you by Numana Foods. Get the very best in storable food at Numana.com/Hodges. Take 10% off with the coupon code Hodges10. Excellent stuff, Robert. I can't wait to have you back on.
Oh, well, God bless you, David. I will see you in the White House.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. Well, that was Robert David Steele, and I told you, there was a lot of content there, and I mean a tremendous amount of content. And I listened in and out quite a bit here. I'm busy working on other show notes and contacting potential guests. And oh, by the way, let me mention this. If there's really someone you want us to have on the Common Sense Show, send us a request to DaveHodges@thecommonsenseshow.com. If you have any contact information for these people, let me know that too. But we really do appreciate the tips that we get from all of you out there. And some of you give me really good story ideas, and thank you for that. But Robert's right on the money. Donald Trump needs to bypass the media as much as possible. And even if Robert isn't the guy that sets it up, someone needs to be setting this up, and he can't just rely on Twitter. And, boy, I'll tell you, a day of reckoning is coming for these guys. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. This is just how criminal they are. They go in and they demonetize about everything I do. And then they remonetize it 5 to 7 days later after the traffic is gone and no money is to be made. And while I'm demonetized, we have caught them many times and made screenshots, and we presented it to them, and they deny it despite the evidence, that they're running ads that they say my work is not suitable for advertising, but they're running ads on my work that's not suitable for advertising. So it's absolutely a crazy situation involving YouTube and their policies, and I know this is not unique. I know everyone from Doug and Joe to Steve Quayle to Jeff Renz, they're all experiencing the same thing. I think Alex Jones maybe hit the hardest of all of us, but they basically have stripped me of my organic traffic, so you have to directly come to my work to be able to see it. And I think we do pretty good work there on that channel. I really do, and I'm not trying to just be a shameless self-promoter, but we put out about 10 a day, news items, philosophical bents. And people say, Dave, wish you had a show every day like so many of your colleagues. I do too. My schedule won't permit it, but this is my answer because I can record those and post those whenever I want. And we would also ask for your assistance because the revenue stream from YouTube is drier than a dead rock riverbed. And to help out with that, you can send your donation to The Common Sense Show at Post Office Box 32, Whitman, WITTMANN. And that's Arizona 85361. Anyway, we'll be back in hour number 3 with Ronnie McMullen, and it's really a good piece.